ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामो भगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। Around 1970 or so, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he was explaining that he was very happy to see a very positive, one of the first positive press articles in the Indian press at that time about ISKCON, praising its activities. The letter was from, I believe, Hanuman Prasad Poddar, the founder of the Gita Press. But in his letter, he said one thing that bothered Srila Prabhupada. He said, everything about this society is wonderful. We only hope that it will continue into the future. And Srila Prabhupada, at that time, had been writing many letters to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was in Europe at that time, Paris, just trying to begin ISKCON's activities in that part of Europe. And he was pushing and pushing, you have to get our books translated into these regional languages, because our preaching may come and go, the Harinam may come and go, but these books will go on forever. He's very much pressing on book distribution, and very much instilled in the leaders at that time the realization that the basis of this movement is actually Srila Prabhupada's books. For that reason, I wanted to read from Srila Prabhupada's translation of the 9th canto, chapter 10, The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramchandra. It's a very brief summary, so I think that in the interest of time, I think we can just read that section. But I wanted to explain why. I'm not saying so much. Comments. How many people have read this section recently? Raise your hand. Recently. Canto 9, Chapter 10. And everyone familiar with the content? Therefore, I'm reading it. We need to hear. We need to hear from Srila Prabhupada. We'll hear about this in a moment. So, first, Mangalacharana. Vandeham Sri Guruho Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Shcha. Shukdev Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Khatavanga was Dirghavahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality, Maharaj Dasharatha. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth himself, directly appeared with his expansions and expansions of the expansions. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, Ramchandra and his brothers are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Being Vishnu Tattva, all of them are equally powerful and became the sons of Maharaj Dasharat in response to the prayers of the demigods. Now listen closely. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please, listen. Srila Prabhupada has added something here that's not in the Sanskrit. What did he add? The last sentence. Please, listen. It's so important. So he's making the point here. Tasya anucharitam rajan rishipis tattva darshipis shrutam hi varnitam puri. Even though you have extensively heard these things described by self-realized rishis in Parampara system, my dear king, all these activities of Sita and Pati, please listen. This is the implicit verb. Srila Prabhupada makes it explicit for us. Srila Prabhupada said sometimes, more than once he said, the purports are more important than the verses. And Srila Prabhupada comments here, modern rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramchandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramchandra and his activities only as presented by tattvadarshis, those who know the absolute truth. He continues, apparently, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramchandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by tattvadarshis. Not jnaninas tattvadarshinaha, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate. Anyone who's been through that system knows all you have to do is pay money or promise the university money in the future and you will get a doctorate. You don't have to say anything intelligent or worthwhile. Even in America it's like this. This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami. Rishipis tattvadarshipi. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. Therefore, we hope to complete at least this chapter. Now, the next verse is very beautiful. Wonderful poem. Bhagavatam is characterized by wonderful Sanskrit poetry. He says, Gurvarthe tyaktarajo vyacharanuvanam tad padma padhyam priyayaha. Pani sparshakshama bhyam rijata patharujo yo harindranuja bhyam vairupyat churpanakhyaha priyavira harusharo pita bhru vijrimha tristad bhir baddhasetuhu kaladavadahanaha kosalendro avatanaha. That means, whole Ramayana summarized in one verse. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramchandra immediately gave up the position of king, and accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, king of the monkeys, or by another monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmana, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Anyone been to Rameshwaram, South India? You can still go there. If you have the patience, you can even walk across the channel, but make sure it's low tide. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord, Ramchandra, give us all protection. In the arena of sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramchandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. Who are the uncivilized men who wander at night? Nishacharas. In Los Angeles, we call them lowriders. You hear them with their mega bass stereo and their sound systems in their cars. Nishacharas literally means night, people who wander around at night doing the wrong things. May Lord Ramchandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. You need Ramchandra's protection? Raise your hand if you need protection. We all need protection. O King, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra were wonderful, like those of a... Anybody know this? Baby elephant. Very charming. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramchandra bent it and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. This is poetic. He's already described that the Lord's pastimes are as charming as a baby elephant. Now he's describing what do baby elephants do? They snap sugar cane. In that way, he snapped this terrifying bow. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramchandra met who? Parashuram, the different Ramas. There's green Ram, there's white Ram, and there's axe Ram. Here we worship Balaram. But Parashuram, although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times. If you've been to Kurukshetra, you may have seen this Brahma Sarovar, huge tank, red-colored, because it was previously filled with the blood of all these Kshatriyas that were killed by Parashurama. Sometimes the administrative or martial class has to be chastised directly by the Lord. Not sometimes, pretty regularly. Rajanya Vangshatahana, you burn them, Kunti Devi says, from time to time, because they get out of hand on account of their strong Ishwara Bhava. They have a strong tendency to think themselves the controllers, so he has to chastise them. So, even Parashuram was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. The Brahmins have a tendency also. What is their anartha? They get a little proud sometimes, because they know something and they have some qualities. So the Lord appeared to be another Kshatriya, like all those that he had already killed 21 times, but this time it didn't work. This time it didn't work. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramchandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life. And he went to the forest with Sita. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord, Ramchandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. Maharaj Dasharatha, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and therefore he wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for a benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramchandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son, Bharata, and send Ramchandra to the forest. We can't criticize Kaikeyi for her part in the Leela. And we also have to be careful, because in this world, we see even devotees. Kaikeyi was also a devotee. She's in the Leela, unlike us. Sometimes when you see devotees do unbelievable things, devotees do sometimes. But we have to be careful. You don't know who you're sitting next to. While wandering in the forest, O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her to distract Lord Ramchandra from his ashram. Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer, and when Lord Ramchandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. Marichi didn't want to do this in the beginning. He had to be convinced. He knew Ramchandra was powerful. Sometimes when fate is written on your forehead, even you know that what you're doing is not wise, you have to do it. Sometimes fate is so strange like that. Likitam abhilalate pronchitam kaha samartha, Hitopadesh tells us. Whatever is written on your forehead, sometimes you just have to eat it. Apane karma bhunje shaman koho ye lochanadas. Srila Prabhupada makes two points in his purport. One, the words stri sanginam gatim indicate that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord himself. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the personality of Godhead, by his personal example. Of course, this is the material side of Stri Sangi, but the situation of Lord Ramchandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world. Still, Shukadeva Goswami has pointed out, not only Ramchandra's leelas, but Krishna's leelas also, they show us what is the misery that ensues on account of attachment to the opposite sex. As Srila Prabhupada said, women are good. We're not misogynists. Men are also good. But women plus men, that's not good. Just like Brahmachari Ashram, very simple life. Sannyas ashram, very simple life. Vanaprastha ashram, simplifying life. Grihastha ashram, very complicated life. So this is the problem. And even Ramchandra, even Krishna also, indicates through his leelas, if we take them as material activities, which we should not actually do, but even if we do take it like that, still we see it just doesn't work. Okay. A further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection. For as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by dakshasas like Ravana. The word here, Prabhupada is commenting on the word asamaksham, which means unsupervised. Lord Ramchandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. He is called Narakriti, human-like form, like a human king. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanta, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger. I was hearing this morning in the Mula Ramayana, that is to say the first chapter of Valmiki Ramayana, when the Lord becomes angry, in terms of anger, when the Lord is angry, his anger is like fire. Very, very destructive anger. So the ocean realized this. Simply by glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. One poet in Brijpasha says, the Lord simply by glancing over the ocean can boil it if he's angry. So maybe that's what's being indicated here. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance, but you are the master of all these qualities. O Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Avana, who is the source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. What does Ravana mean? Anyone know? He makes people cry. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go and kill him and regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings of the future will glorify you. And in fact, they are doing so. For hundreds and thousands of years, people have been glorifying. Not ordinary people, great saintly persons. We've heard Tattvadarshis and Rajarshis, saintly kings, sages. You can still go there now, and as I said, you can see this remnants of the bridge are still there. Shukdev Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing the water into the water, the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared to be like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nekumbha, Kumbha, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Nirantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son, Indrajit. Indrajit means somebody who can conquer Indra. Thereafter, he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramchandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandhamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishis, shakti arrows, kargas, and tomaras. These are all different kinds of weapons. Prabhupada doesn't translate them. Angad and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramchandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. We've heard all the sophisticated weaponry, smart bombs and other such guided missiles. We've heard that Ravana had all these sophisticated weapons, and what did the monkeys have in return? What are they throwing? Trees, boulders, mountains. Listen to glory. Again and again and again, the Lord performs leelas that demonstrate it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. If you're on his side, you win, period. If you're not on his side, you lose, period. No matter what you have. This is the point. Again and again we see this in his leelas. And just as Ramchandra took this most unlikely bunch, monkeys are not known for their discipline. The most unlikely, hordes of monkeys, you can imagine. Here in Vrindavan it's very easy to imagine. If hordes of monkeys suddenly overtake this place, there's not much you can do about it. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada came to the United States. In those days, America was great. Now they're trying to make it great again. We'll see if they succeed. They probably won't. But even if China becomes, or actually is already, the next world superpower, they will also perish, because the foundation is equally demoniac, probably even worse. So you can't win if you're fighting on the wrong side. This is the point. Thus the soldiers of Ramchandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of who? Ramchandra? No. Mother Sita. Do not offend a chaste woman. They have power. There's great power. Just as brahmacharis have tremendous power through, that is their chastity, you can say. Similarly, they do. Women, by chastity, they develop great power. Of course, her power was transcendental, but still, the lila is there. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus, he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramchandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramchandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramchandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder. And in my absence, you kidnapped my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, just as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you, you who are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." Valmiki Muni in his Ramayana describes that Ravana had been like a fool reaching into the mouth of a hungry lion and pulling out a tooth. This is what it was like when he abducted Mother Sita. And now we're about to hear. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what's happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. The one Braj poet also is described very nicely. Mere paas nikas gaya sadguru marya tir. My spiritual master has fired sharp arrows in the form of his instructions, and they have pierced my heart. We all have Ravana inside of us. The only way to kill this Ravana, as Ramchandra killed Ravana with a sharp arrow to the heart, is by hearing from the spiritual master and his very intense instructions are like arrows. They will kill this demoniac tendency within us. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Crying continuously, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshmana. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. O my Lord, O Master, you epitomized trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we are also defeated, for without you the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramchandra. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves now, have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your own body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. The Christians have a nice saying, the wages of sin is death. Shukdev Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramchandra, received approval from Lord Ramchandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Thereafter, Lord Ramchandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath a tree named Shimshapa in a forest of Ashok trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramchandra was very compassionate. When Lord Ramchandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishana the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshmana. Okay, we have to stop here because we have to keep to our schedule. Maybe anyone have any comments among the seniors? Yes, Pritupavu. Beautiful. Just see. This is the nature of Kali Yuga now. Gopal, Prabhu, you want to say something?
I have a question. question that in this first endeavor, we killed all of the shop tools, and then were there second generation or third generation of shop tools that occurred that we continue to kill them to come to the goal of 20 million pounds of shop tools?
I don't know. Shubha Krishna says that some Kshatriyas took shelter of women, and therefore they were not killed, because you cannot kill women. Where? Okay, not yet confirmed. All right, we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Now we'll invite His Grace Panchagoda Prabhu.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Such nectar pastimes, should have went the whole direction. It's very exciting when the Lord appears, and today in particular is a very special day. Srila Prabhupada prayed for the Lord to appear. Shishi Gornitai Krishna Balaram Radha Shyama Sundarita Vishaka Devi. And of course, Lord Ramchandra appeared, it said, in Treta Yuga, so a couple million years ago. And the opulence of Ayodhya was incredible. If you read some history of the opulence of Ayodhya, and Dasarath was actually very powerful emperor. He could actually fight many, and he was very, very prominent. But he was unhappy. He didn't have a child. So there was some arrangement made. He performed sacrifices. He had some special sweet rice gave to his wives, and the Lord appeared. And it's all pastime, Trikalagya. The Lord knows how things are developing. So prior to the Lord's appearance, many demigods, they brought forward the monkey soldiers, Sugriva, Hanuman, and all the various soldiers, preparing for the Lord's appearance. When Krishna appears, we hear how so many demigods come to assist in the Leela. So Ramayan, very famous, and Lord Ramachandra set the example as the ideal king, ideal emperor, and also ideal householder. That he was, although very detached, very renounced, just imagine everyone is preparing, the Lord Ramchandra will be taking ruling of Ayodhya, and so much festivity is going on, everyone's so excited and happy. At last moment, King Dasarath, in order to satisfy his promise to his wife, no, you go to the forest. For 14 years, immediately Ramchandra accepted. Lakshman says, I'm going to. Sita says, I want to go. No, you don't have to go. No. My duty, I want to be with you. So the Lord, it's a very wonderful pastime, and every time when we hear about the Lord and the Lord's pastimes, it helps strengthen our faith, strengthen our commitment to develop our own, reawaken our love and attachment to the Lord. So we've seen a beautiful play also. Srila Prabhupada very much loved dramas, and we have a beautiful drama a couple days back. And you could see how Dasarath was heartbroken by the fact that Lord Ram was banished. And all the activities that took place during that Ramayana Leela, how the devotees in the form of monkey soldiers performed superhuman activities. We hear boulders, trees, mountain peaks. Can't imagine the little monkeys that we see running around here, but the huge, huge monkeys. Many different types of monkeys. Prabhupada made some jokes about, bringing the white elephants or the monkey. You know, we're like the monkey soldiers assisting in his leela of spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. And Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to have the presence of Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gornitai, to remind everyone, this Kali Yuga, the importance of taking up this process of devotional service, of giving up the illusion of material existence, that life is very valuable, very, very short. And Srila Prabhupada, if you see how beautiful the deities are, and the decoration, and the love and care, this is the devotee's expression of love. Prabhupada setting a standard, and every morning we're singing Shivigrahara Dhananityananam Sringaratanman Dira Marjanado. They were cleansing the temple, we're serving the deities. When Lord Ramchandra was away doing his activities of being a prince, he had a devotee, or he was during his kingly rule, there was a very nice Brahmin devotee that would every day come and take darshan, just like in the villages or in the kingdom, the king would sit and in the court and people would come to, if there's any problems, they would solve the issues, what it might be. So Ramachandra was away for some time, maybe a couple of weeks, and this Brahmana, because he could not get the darshan of the Lord, he fasted. No eating, no drinking. So Lakshman pointed out, oh, this devotee is so dedicated, he's performing such austerity. So austerity should never be given up. So Lord Ramchandra, out of kindness, there was a murti that was being worshipped from Ishvaku's time, long, long time ago. And it's described that that same deity is being worshipped in South India somewhere. So we're thinking maybe a few thousand years ago, 5,000, 10,000 years ago, cavemen, or we have no clue, no idea of the history of the Lord and the Lord's appearance. It's not that the Lord just appears and is finished. It's Nitya Leela. It's going on perpetually because there's unlimited universes and the Lord's unlimited appearances. And there are many prominent appearances. Of course, Krishna Balaram. What to speak of that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, Lord Ramachandra himself, appeared. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita it describes about a great devotee of Ramachandra, Murari Gupta. And he was a physician, Murari Gupta, very intimate disciple, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was convincing, oh, you should take up the worship of Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. So Murari Gupta in many ways was thinking, how can I do this? How can I do this? But his heart was dedicated to Ramachandra. And Lord Chaitanya said, like, on your forehead, call you Ramdas. He was very happy that, yes, your worship of Lord Ram is very, very much appreciated. So the dedication and worship of the Lord is very important for all of us to keep to set the example, as Srila Prabhupada did. He wanted that we dedicate our energy, our time, to worship the Lord. And the best worship in this age of Kali Yuga, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parashadam Jagnai Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. That we worship the Lord in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and all his associates, by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama is also Lord Ramachandra, Balaram, so many Ramas. So the holy name is very, very powerful. Valmiki was chanting Rama, 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 Rama. And there's many beautiful bhajans in the history of Valmiki Ramayan. Many years ago, there was so much pastime of Lord Ramachandra and the great incarnations of the Lord Das Avatar. And this is the beauty of Bharat Varsha, that people are born in a family. Normally, if someone's born in a Brahmana family, he's trained to become a Brahmana. Dasarath was a Kshatriya, so Ram, Lakshman were trained as Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Shudra. But in this age of Kali, everyone is born Shudra, so training is necessary. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish also a class of Brahmana. Not that we can just immediately, oh, you are Brahmana. It comes by qualification, by training and qualification. Of course, many are inclined in different ways. Prabhupada in one class was giving the example that the British were ruling the East, the Far East, because of the power of the Indian soldiers, the Sikhs, the Gurkhas. And this is their natural inclination. They're actually very powerful fighters and warriors. And so we have the inclination. And although we may be born Shudra, by this very powerful medicine of chanting the Lord's holy name, hearing his pastimes, one can be freed of that designation. So Bharat Varsha, they would hear about Rama, they would hear about Krishna, Lord Nrisimha, Matsya, Vamanadev, Kurma, all the various incarnations. And the Brahmanas would be giving training and guidance about the importance of life, to remember the Ram Leela. All day long they're working, and in the evening they all gather for kirtan, bhajan, to remember the leelas of the Lord. And this gave great happiness and great satisfaction that not only my life, but my family is being engaged. My village, my city, my nation. And so the entire nation was actually directed by Ram Raj. Even the political campaign is going on. Everyone wants the kingdom of Lord Ram, perfect Ram Raj. But unfortunately, without the spiritual guidance and without the guru's instruction, as we heard, that the power of our success is carrying out the guru's instruction. One story that Shruti Kirti Prabhu told was that devotees, 1973, when they heard that Srila Prabhupada is coming, so they went to the airport. They were oblivious of, you know, authorities, rules and regulations. They were singing and dancing and jumping in ecstasy. Just when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going through Jarikanda Forest, when the animals were following him, he said, chant, Hari, Hari, Hari Bol. And you see that the animals were dancing and screaming out in ecstasy. He said the deer, the tigers were embracing and jumping and dancing and kissing. So he's observing how the devotees, even though born in Kali Yuga, born in Western family, not Brahminical culture, that by the power and strength of Srila Prabhupada, they were given this, their heart was pierced with the order of the guru. And Shruti Kirti was feeling, oh, I don't have that kind of love and devotion. I'm seeing your devotees are so ecstatic, jumping, dancing, and feeling so much enthusiasm by seeing you, Prabhupada. why is it that, you know, I'm not feeling like this? So Srila Prabhupada didn't answer, but he called later. He said, you like serving me? He said, oh, yes, Prabhupada, very much. I love serving you very much. He said, that's the important thing, that you are carrying out your service. It's not just some show or display. Someone is, I mean, of course, jumping, dancing, and feeling ecstatic is all beautiful and wonderful, but steady, dedicated service, it's very important that it's not just simply some sentimental affair. You see how much energy went to decorating and, you know, organizing, and what you speak of daily serving, so many nice preparations and making sure everything is nice and polished and clean and neat. And so it's not simply some sentiment or some artificial enthusiasm, but it's genuine mercy of Krishna and Guru that one is taking to heart, that yes, I am Das Das Anudas, I am a servant of the servant, so I can show my love whether I have so-called ecstatic emotions or not, by doing my service in a dedicated, steady way, Krishna will be happy. And you cannot make Krishna happy directly. You have to make Krishna happy by serving your guru and by serving the servant of the servant. And this is not some sloganistic feeling. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit Vrindavan, he was very happy to see all the inhabitants. He was very excited about, in the mood of devotee, oh, let me be in Vrindavan, Govardhan, and Radhakund, and all the devotees, and all the different activities of devotional service. So we should follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who came by the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, to save the fallen conditioned souls. This is Krishna's love and mercy. He's actually very much concerned about the suffering of others. And naturally, samohang sarvabhuteshu, that Krishna is equal to everyone, but naturally, one is taking special care of his family. I'm sure that the president of a nation or the prime minister, his close associates, those who are serving nicely, although his duty is to take care of all the citizens, if a personal secretary of the president or the prime minister, then some special care is there. And it's not that we criticize, oh, what, you're being biased. The Lord is merciful, kind to everyone. But those who surrender and render service, Krishna gives special protection. The devotees are protected by Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We're being protected by these books. It's no longer sentiment, it's science, it's logic, it's reason. Because all the instructions are given to us through Srila Prabhupada's books and teachings. And technically, today is a fast day like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day. We're supposed to fast till the evening. Well, what? Prabhupada made a special concession. He opened up Krishna Balaram Mandir, installed the deities, and had a feast in the afternoon. So generally, we speak solely on the appearance day of Sri Sri Gaura Nitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundar. And it's non-different than the appearance of Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. But we wanted to today also make some emphasis on remembering the Lord's Leela, and also this is the Lord's Leela, his appearance here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, just when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago. The Lord appeared again just 44 years ago. And many of us are part of this Leela. We should not get proud and think, oh, I'm part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Yes, we can be part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela, part of Srila Prabhupada's Leela. And we'll be hearing about the very glorious appearance of Sri Sri Krishna Balaram and Srila Prabhupada's desire, an intense love when he was seeing the suffering of the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. Tears would come to his eyes. He says, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kaluva nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. That only by chanting the Lord's holy name, taking shelter of the Lord through the instructions of Guru, that one can be saved from repetition of birth and death. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we will have an Abhishek 10:15. We have four designated speakers, and I know how time goes by very quickly, so I'd like to allocate like 15 minutes this way, that way. But we want to hear about the very glorious, you know, activity of Srila Prabhupada and what he's established here. It's changed the surface of Vrindavan, of Uttar Pradesh, of the whole world. It's changed the face of the whole globe. And these books are totally instrumental in giving people, the living entities in this Kali Yuga, the opportunity to take up devotional service. Is this the order? So Mother Daivi Shakti, we want to hear and glorify the installation of our Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir and also the tireless efforts of Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees who have served here. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So Mother Daivi Shakti, you can come. You can start the discussion.
Even before he got this land, he wanted to have it at the Radha Damodar Temple and call it the American House, because at that time most of his disciples were Americans. But then he started to ask around if there was any other property that he could get bigger than that, because Radha Damodar Temple wasn't agreeable to have this American House. So first he sent Gurudas, 1970, to Keshigat. There was a palace available there. That also fell through. So then he was mentioning, because he used to go to visit some of the Brijbasis here and have kirtan with his disciples in their homes. And one of them, the Sarafs, they lived in a part of just across from Radha Damodar in Govindabagh, very wealthy, but very humble and simple devotees. So he mentioned that he was looking for land. And Mr. Sharaf, he said, oh, we have some land, but it's quite far from the town. It's out in Ramanreti. In those days, Ramanreti was considered like the jungle. There was nothing here. There was a road about as wide as this table. That's all. And the people used to come and walk on this road in the morning time because it was the most beautiful road. Because on both sides it was empty, not like now. Yeah, highway now. So Prabhupada said, I'm very interested, let's go see it. So immediately they arranged the car and Prabhupada came out here. And he told Mr. Sadaf that, anyway, anyhow, I want this property. Can we purchase it or would you like to donate it? So Mr. Sarraf said, well, it's not in my name. I put it in the name of my wife. So she's coming in March, and let her decide. So Prabhupada wasn't here in March. The second temple president, his name was Kiradakshayi, he was here. So on Prabhupada's behalf, he went to see Gita Devi Sarraf, and he asked her, we would like this property. Your husband expressed that it's in your hands, whether you can give it. So Gita Devi, she didn't know what to do because many people were asking her for this property. I won't mention the names, but she didn't want to offend anyone. So since her childhood, she had been worshiping deities, Radha Kunja Bihari. And she said, well, I'll leave it up to my deities what they want. So she took two pieces of paper, one that said yes and one that said no. And she put those papers in front of her deities. And she told Kira Dakshai, you pick one paper. And he picked one paper, and by the mercy of their lordships, it said yes. It wasn't over then. So as soon as Prabhupada understood that he got the land, he immediately came and he had the groundbreaking ceremony where they put Ananta Shesh inside. You can see the pictures. But the other people who wanted this land were so envious that that same night they came and dug up and defiled that place. But Prabhupada was determined that he was going to build this temple. So we didn't have qualified devotees at that time who were architects. He got he hired an architect from Delhi, and they made a very simple design. Then, by Krishna's arrangement, one draftsman, he was actually a fashion designer, Hans Kielmann, he was visiting Bombay, and Prabhupada caught a hold of him and sat him down, and he said, I want you to design this temple for Vrindavan. He immediately initiated him. His name was Saurabh, and he sent him here to Vrindavan. Now, here in Vrindavan was just a few handful of devotees overseeing the construction. Gunanava was one of them, and they immediately made a bond to get this temple built. Now, there was a time constriction because the agreement was that the temple would be built by 1973. Because 1972, the land was donated. So 1973, nothing was ready. That was when Saurabh came here. So Prabhupada, he asked for a one-year extension to 1974 Janmashtami. So our temple president then was Gurudas, and he was the only one communicating with Prabhupada. And he was assuring Prabhupada, everything is going to be ready by Janmashtami 1974. Prabhupada was busy traveling the whole time. He would come intermittently. He would stay in the dirt huts that were behind, the construction huts where the devotees lived. And he would discuss with everyone if it's going to be ready in time, how they would have the Abhishek, everything. He wanted only the ISKCON devotees to do it, and he wanted kirtan. That was Prabhupada's decision. So by the correspondence of Gurudas, Prabhupada was inviting everyone to come, all of his god brothers and different dignitaries to come Janmashtami 1974. He invited about 600 devotees to come also from all over the world. So everyone converged here, Janmashtami 1974. We had everything ready, and Prabhupada walked in the gate in front of his house, and he looked at the temple. And he said, this temple isn't ready, we can't open it. And he was furious with the devotees that he had been led on like this. So he looked all around, he saw there were no doors, there was only Prabhupada's Vyasa son, the floor wasn't polished yet, they were just putting in the marble, and it was just half-baked. There was no way Prabhupada was going to open the temple like that. And this caused so much anxiety to Prabhupada that he actually became physically sick and nearly left his body. And it was at this time that 24-hour kirtan was started. So after much consideration, Prabhupada decided, well, we have 8 months. I'm going to ask for extension to Ramnomi of 1975. And within these 8 months, this temple has to be ready. So he kicked everyone out. He sent everybody back to their temples. There was just a skeleton crew here. And we had here a construction team of 150 workers, 24 hours a day, with lights, it looked like a football stadium. Carpenters were all over the courtyard here. There were oceans and oceans of shavings and the masons. And then a few months later, Prabhupada, he wanted domes. They hadn't planned for domes, so they had to redo all of the foundations here secretly, because once you start a building, you can't break a building. So you can see here the original foundations behind the peacocks, and then the new foundations that were built to support the beautiful domes that were built. So everything had to be done within 8 months, and they were determined to do it. So this time when Prabhupada came, he was coming from Mayapur, and there was an interim time, as we see, between Gaur Purnima and Ram Nomi. There's 15 to 20, 45 days or something. It's quite some time. So they had a program in Hyderabad. All the devotees went with Prabhupada to Hyderabad. And then from there, we were here getting ready, everything. Their lordships, all the paraphernalia had to be ready. Everything had to be cleaned. And we thought we had a good 2 weeks until Prabhupada would show up. All of a sudden, we get a telegram. There were no computers in those days. Prabhupada is arriving this evening at 7 o'clock. So that we had to crush in everything within 2 weeks that we were going to do. 2 weeks we had to do within 13 hours. It was right after Mangal Arti, they made the announcement. We had to, the devotees had to come and pick up their lordships, bring them into the temple. They had to clean everything. They had to make everything ready for Prabhupada to appear. And this time, it was going to happen. So when Prabhupada came this time, he was exuberant. He saw everything is ready. And then he started giving instructions that would carry on our temple for the rest of eternity, we hope. All the instructions of how this temple should be set up. He made two temple presidents, internal and external. Internal was a grihastha, and he oversaw the running of the temple. External was a sannyasi who would go out and preach constantly. Internal was Dhananjaya, external was Akshayananda Swami. And then he gave Dhananjaya instructions how the deity should be worshipped. He wanted 10 plates. Dhananjaya asked him, what's the best kind of plate that we can give for the deity's bhoga? He said, the best plate is lotus leaves. But you don't see many lotus flowers here or lotus plants here in Vrindavan. So then Prabhupada said, under that is gold, under that is silver, under that is bell metal, and he was giving a list like that. So Dhananjaya, he chose bell metal. And then Prabhupada said, every deity should have their own personal plate, and you have to write their names on the plates and on their kitoris. And you have to feed the deities. Prabhupada didn't like the word deities. He said they have names. You have to feed Krishna and Balaram because they're young boys and they're going out into the forest every day. You have to feed them just like hungry, growing young boys. So 25 preparations for Rajbhog, 6 different offerings. It was just wonderful what Prabhupada had planned. Later, over the years, he reduced it a bit. And he wanted it Jagannath Puri style, in the sense that in Jagannath Puri, they make so much prasadam, and they sell that prasadam. And they make according to the number of pilgrims. That means it increases and it decreases. So Prabhupada was checking, of course this was after the temple was open, how much prasadam was sold, how much was left over. It was very technical, very businesslike. He said, on these days, on Saturday and Sunday, you have to make more. You have to make kutch in the daytime. You have to make puck at night. He was so concerned about how their lordships were going to be fed. So grand opening, it wasn't just one day. It was 2 weeks of celebrations. Prabhupada had, here in the courtyard, there were little huts made that the Brahmins had constructed for doing the yajnas. And because Prabhupada was the yajnaman, he was the person who the yajna was being performed on behalf of, he would come and sit in these huts very dutifully and give the different offerings. He would come with his sannyasi disciples. He would come with Sarab. And each day, they were moving their lordships closer and closer to the darshan mandap. Finally, on the final day, that was April 20th, everyone was lined up here in front of the altar. And they had white silk, their eyes were covered with wax, and they had white silken bands around their eyes. and they performed magnificent with hundreds and hundreds of kilos of milk and fruit juices and all different types of substances, abhishek, to their lordships. And then after that, before the abhishek, the Brahmins sent in a message to Prabhupada that we need a big piece of gold to scrape off the wax from the eyes. So Prabhupada said, no. He said, I've tolerated all of this just to satisfy everyone, but no gold. So he wouldn't give them any gold or jewels that they asked for. So they after the abhishek, they took off the bands, they scraped off the eyes, and the first thing that Krishna Balaram Gornitai and Radhasham Sundar, Lalita Vishaka, Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta saw, they had there a beautiful young calf and a beautiful young girl, a kanya. So these were the first darshans that the lordships had. After that, they were very carefully carried into the altar, and the devotees had been cooking in the kitchen. They had way over 108 preparations. There was Gopati, there was Apurva, all the biggest cooks of the Bhojadev, biggest cooks of the whole movement had come here to cook. Prabhupada's sister. They were cooking all morning. And they were just churning out the preparations. All the plates were being made. There was too much for the plates. There were clay cups everywhere. And then after the offering, they cleared everything off and Prabhupada came in. He came in this way. He offered his obeisances to each of the altars. He was the first to have darshan. And then he decided that he would do the first arti to Krishna and Balaram. And he had Brahmananda guard the curtain to make sure that nobody else opened the curtain except for Prabhupada. So Brahmananda is standing there, and when it's time for arti, Prabhupada, as the first activity, the first darshan, Prabhupada opened up that curtain, and everyone just went ecstatically wild. Everyone. It was just up to the ceiling, the kirtan. Plus there were so many dignitaries, hundreds of policemen guarding the dignitaries. They were all trying to have darshan of Krishna Balaram at the same time. So it was beautiful arti. You can see the pictures there in the book there. Prabhupada did the arti. He was just beaming. After the water, he threw the water out into the crowd. Everyone went wild. Then the flowers, he threw the flowers out. Everyone went even more wild. Then the fans, finally the conch. And then to everyone's surprise, Prabhupada came out. He offered his obeisances. We used to have beautiful fountains here to cool the whole atmosphere. He offered his obeisances between the doors and the fountains. And then he wanted to speak to the crowd. He gave a magnificent lecture saying that this temple is an international temple. It's for everyone. It's for all Vaishnavas. Don't think that Vaishnavas are only here in India. You see these people, they were papi-tapi, but now they become Vaishnavas. They're very serious. So we want everyone to come here and worship Krishna Balaram in the temple. And then after that, Prabhupada sat here in a simple chair, and all the dignitaries were here. He had two of his disciples speak in Hindi, Yashomati Nandan and Achyutananda Swami, who was American. He tried his best. And then Prabhupada, he spoke. Governor Channa Reddy also spoke. And then Prabhupada, he spoke. And he said that I've taken permission to speak in English because all my disciples are here. And he explained that Gornitai are none different from Krishna and Balaram, who are none different from Ram Lakshman. So now Gornitai have appeared here in this age of Kali to purify all of us in the most simple process of Sankirtan. So he encouraged everyone, quoting so many slokas from Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita. Half of Prabhupada's lecture was in Sanskrit. And from that alone, you could understand what Prabhupada was saying. And in the finality of the lecture was that these Vaishnavas, they've come from all over the world now to worship Krishna and Balaram. How long can I bring them? I want that all of the intelligent young men from India to now join this movement and take up this preaching process. So he said that ISKCON is for both types of people, the illiterate and the philosophers and scientists. The illiterate, they just chant Hare Krishna, and the philosophers and scientists, at that time we had over 50 books, they can study the literature and they can preach Krishna consciousness. So from there, Prabhupada went into he sat here, and there was a wonderful play by the Vaikuntha players about the slaying of Jarasandha. Everyone enjoyed it very much. And then Prabhupada started the mass prasad distribution. Smarahari's not here? Smarahari was in charge of the cooking. Each devotee here had an assignment. Radhakun was in charge of the book table in the back. Everyone had their assignments given by Prabhupada. And if you want to talk about discipline, everyone did their job so carefully, because we were just like little particles of Prabhupada trying to get everything arranged perfectly to Prabhupada's desire. So then Prabhupada arranged for prasad distribution for 6,000 devotees. The people were sitting everywhere onto the out to the street, and then Dandi Ashram, he had that whole place filled up. 2,000 people got special prasadam. The other 4,000 people was also special. There was samosa, there was kachuri, there were two sabjis, there was laddu, there was puri. It was just wonderful. And Prabhupada oversaw that. He walked around and made sure everything was being done properly. There were hundreds of devotees serving out. Yashramati Nandan was in charge of the serving. And then he walked over to Dandi Ashram. And then finally he brought his special guest, Governor Reddy, into the what's now the International Library, and he fed him special South Indian food, prasadam, and the police, they had to taste test everything. So in that, it went on for another 7 days. So for 2 weeks, this temple was just in festive and glorious mode, and today we're celebrating that wonderful grand opening that Prabhupada orchestrated. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Mutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvase Shushunivari Paschita Deshitarane. I did not have the fortune of being here for the opening in 1975. But although I did not have that fortune, I think we were blessed with a different type of fortune. 18 months before the temple opened was when I arrived here. And actually, if we could all immediately be transported to that time, what would happen is we would all plummet into a pit. There was a huge crater here. That was basically it, with pillars and these metal rods going in every direction, the rebar. And on the edge of this pit were construction tents, and there was really little else. There was nothing else except the beautiful vana, the Vrindavan forest. But of course, that's not true. The most important structure was here. It was Srila Prabhupada's room and his servants' quarters, 4 rooms in all. Daivi Shakti Mataji reminded me. And it was a very cold February, and there was such a rugged beauty and sweetness that pervaded everywhere. But Srila Prabhupada was here at that time. And in that simplicity, we would run to his room in the morning from the Fogel Ashram, where we were staying. There was nowhere to stay here. And to hear Srila Prabhupada speak in for his morning class. And, you know, regardless of the cacophony, the noise, the construction, and everything that was going on, when you would enter Srila Prabhupada's room, you would enter Vaikuntha. It was inexplicable. And of course that atmosphere was emanating from Srila Prabhupada himself, who seemed to relish all the construction and the wild activity that was going on. Of course, you can imagine, we can only imagine what it was like for Srila Prabhupada. This was his home at the Radha-Damodar Mandir. He was home, but now there was a whole different mood of building, you know, constructing the most important temple of all. Prabhupada, one day we came and Prabhupada was starting his class as usual, and then I've told this before, so forgive me, but Srila Prabhupada looked up behind us with a huge smile on his face. This was right in Prabhupada's large room here. And we were all wondering, and we looked back, and George Harrison of the Beatles just wandered in, along with Ravi Shankar, the famous sitarist. And we were kind of stunned more at Srila Prabhupada's happiness. And then George walked right up, and he sat in a lotus posture in front of Prabhupada with his beads out, and Prabhupada changed the direction of his class a little bit, where he said that we should give everything for Krishna. And it was very sweet, and at the end Srila Prabhupada called for prasadam for George. Whereas George came up to the front, Ravi Shankar sat in the back with sunglasses on. So that meant something. George said, no, Prabhupada, we want to see the Yamuna. They had this little Fiat car, and they wanted to go to see the holy Yamuna River. And while he was saying that, he saw Yamuna Devi sitting there. You know, Guru Das was there, Gunarnava, and Yamuna, Lakshmimoni, myself, and just a few others. And when he saw Yamuna, you know, he had just recorded the Radha Temple album in London. He ran up to her and kissed her on the cheek in front of Prabhupada. And we're all thinking, oh my God, this is, you know, this was not correct. And Prabhupada just gave this beautiful grandfatherly smile. And we were all his children. And it was just so sweet. You know, Prabhupada would, so they left, and this was the simple life there. Srila Prabhupada was the purest ambassador from the spiritual world, and these most influential people in the world would take that arduous trip here to this apparently simple rural area and basically fall at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. So I'm going to keep this short. In this way, while the physical foundation was being built, Srila Prabhupada was at the same time laying down a philosophical and spiritual foundation, not only for this most marvelous temple, but he was also guiding the entire world from this holiest of holy places. And from my vision, Prabhupada is still doing this. He's still making arrangements to have the best managers imaginable to continue and to help grow the Krishna Balaram Mandir to heights that we really can't even imagine. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I certainly don't have... Yes. I certainly don't have any qualification except for Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I pray that he'll use me to speak his words. As Mukunda Datta Prabhu was mentioning, the most important aspect of Guru and Krishna is their instruction. So, Panchagoda Prabhu was also mentioning that 2 million years ago, over 2 million years ago, on this day, Lord Ramchandra appeared, and the whole purport of Lord Ramchandra's appearance is chastity, to teach us chastity of the soul. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna, and our only existence is in not only our existence, but our happiness and enlightenment is in being chaste to the Lord. So, as Daiva Shakti Prabhu so beautifully mentioned, the various details of Srila Prabhupada's orchestrating this incredible manifestation of mercy. It comes to mind that so many incredible devotees were here. But it was Srila Prabhupada's pure energy that was guiding every sensitive devotee, any individual, whether they were dressed as Vaishnava or not, anyone that was in tune with Prabhupada's symphony, he was orchestrating them to produce this shelter for all of us. It's significant that at the same time, Srila Prabhupada manifested their lordships through his devotion and this temple. He also gave us the nectar of instruction that same year, that same festival. And to be honest, I haven't done justice to any of Srila Prabhupada's books, but I'm very happy to hear all of my god brothers and god sisters reiterate the fact that we need to hear from Srila Prabhupada. We need to hear from Guru and Krishna. And there's no difference between Srila Prabhupada's words and Krishna's words. Therefore, we sing Shakshad Hari Trinasamasta Shastra Uptastatava Vyata Eva Shabdi. That it's not just a sentiment, as Panchagoda Prabhu was mentioning. It's in the Shastras, it's in the, and the sadhus. They confirm this fact that Shakshad Hari, that the Guru is Shakshad Hari, non-different from Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada qualifies that, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur qualifies that, Kintu Prabhuya Priya Eva Tasya, because the Guru is very dear to Krishna. Why is he dear to Krishna? Because he's 100% chaste to Krishna. He doesn't do anything on his behalf. Anything Srila Prabhupada and the bona fide spiritual masters do is 100% on behalf of Krishna. And that is the shelter that we all seek. That's the shelter for the conditioned soul. So, going back to 44 years ago, I remember the decoration in front of the deities was full bungalows made by local artisans from banana trees and vegetables like lokis and eggplant. They were making them here in the courtyard as well. They're very, very beautiful, beautiful designs. And all of the flowers were local flowers. Things were different in those days. It wasn't easy to get to Delhi to transport flowers. The roads were ruled by the cows and cycle rickshaws, a few tongas, and one or two ambassadors, and obviously a fiat, some fiats as well. So it was very quiet, as the devotees were mentioning. It was very quiet. There was no honk honk. There's hardly any shops. It was physically a different Vrindavan. But I have to say that due to the intense devotion of Srila Prabhupada's followers, real Vrindavan is manifesting so powerfully, we can all feel it. Although externally things seem to be falling apart, internally so many devotees are coming, so many devotees are enthused, and this is all due to Srila Prabhupada and all of his sincere, dedicated followers. Those who have been attracted by Srila Prabhupada's pure vani, his chanting of the holy names, is what has created this shelter. That's what has given us all of his books. So we need all of us, take it very seriously to help create an atmosphere where we can be focused on hearing Prabhupada's vani and reading Prabhupada's books and helping to bring the Vrindavan that Krishna and Balaram love to live in back into everyone's vision. We can do it. We can definitely do it. And that's what we all are hoping for. I just have to... Like I said, I'm not qualified to speak, so please forgive me. I'll just take a look at my notes. I remember coming here in 1973. And yes, there were just a few huts I couldn't make head or tail of it, what was going on. But I do remember Jamuna was here sewing some outfits, and there were some doll makers here as well. Adidev and Bharadraj, and yeah, there was something going on, but I couldn't really figure it out. I was just wandering around in a daze, trying to figure out, you know, what are we doing here? So that was my experience in 73. I also remember the temples being very dusty, the local Vrindavan temples being very dusty, and particularly Radha Damodar Mandir. The deities didn't look very well taken care of, not like today. Srila Prabhupada, again through his pure devotion, brought, as Mukunda Dutta Prabhu was mentioning, or Panchagoda Prabhu was mentioning, he's changed the face of Vrindavan, not just Vrindavan, Uttar Pradesh, not just Uttar Pradesh, India, not just India, the world, but not just the world, the whole universe. The whole universe is watching this temple. Every day we have Guru Puja, because Vrindavan is the most important place in the universe. So everyone is watching what's going on in this Vrindavan temple. So we have to be very encouraging to each other. We're being watched. We're being watched in the most friendly and benevolent way, and in the most encouraging way. So everyone that is here is very, very special and has a very, very special and significant duty to fulfill for Srila Prabhupada, and each of us need to figure out what it is by praying to Prabhupada and begging Prabhupada to help us fit in as cogs in a wheel and work together in a very smooth, harmonious way to pull this great chariot carrying the Lord's Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram and Radhesham, Lalita Vishaka, pull this chariot forward into the heart and soul of every living entity. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada and the whole disciplic succession want us to perpetuate that mood, not just on one festival day or 10 festival days, but every day, every moment, that we come alive, that we actually realize the purity that Srila Prabhupada wants us to live by, so that we can appreciate each other for who we really are and not for who we aren't, because that's really not very appreciable. So Smarahari Prabhu, the great heroic transcendental son of Srila Prabhupada, here he is. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Of the Krishna Balaram temple has been compiled in a wonderful book, Vrindavan is My Home. This is a 200-page book with original pictures which tell the whole history of the Krishna Balaram temple. It is available over here in the Matchless Gifts bookshop. So do yourself a big favor and go now, after this Abhishek, and get yourself a copy of the book. There is a companion volume Memories of Vrindavan, in which 200 devotees who were personally here at that time give their recollection of what happened. 200 senior devotees who were here 44 years ago. This is a wonderful read and will get you very, very inspired as to the Shakti and the potency of serving Srila Prabhupada at that time. Both of these books are available at the bookshop. Today is Ram Navami. As Deva Shakti recalled, this was finally the day in which the temple, Krishna Balaram temple, was opened. The story of Lord Ram is depicted in the Ramayana by Valmiki. He is considered to be the Adikavi, the original poet, because the Ramayana, which is millions of years old, was the very first epic poem to be penned. Depending on how you count, there are over 300 different versions, different retellings of the Ramayana in various languages throughout the world. The Ramayana epic is in the native language of Burma, Indonesia, Cambodia, Laos, Philippines, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Thailand, Malaysia, Japan, Mongolia, Vietnam, and China, as well as all the regional languages of India. Valmiki, as he was later known, was born by the name of Agni Sharma. While pregnant, his mother went into the forest to forage for food. There, she was seen by a group of robbers, bandits. Being sympathetic to her pregnant condition, they gave her some fruits that they had stolen. She took those fruits home to her family. She ate some fruits. And when Agni Sharma was later born, his father noticed that he had a tendency for charasyaguna, for stealing. Later, in fact, he became a robber. A robber is someone who steals with threats of violence, often using violence, sometimes killing people. And he robbed, at one point, the Sapta Rishis, seven sages who traveled together. But they talked to him and they convinced him, they induced him to do tapasya, to do austerity, and to chant continually Mara. Mara means kill, it means death. So he sat and chanted for a very, very long time. Mara, 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 Rama, Ra. And eventually he was chanting Rama, the holy name of Ram. Because he chanted the name of Ram, he became purified. And he became a sage. One day, he was traveling, walking to take his bath in a stream. And there he noticed two birds, two cranes. They were happily frolicking in each other's company, the male bird and a female bird. He was delighted to see them. And then a hunter's arrow came out of the trees and killed the male bird. The female bird was shrieking and shrieking with grief, and in shock, she died too. He made an utterance about how this hunter would be cursed for eternity, and he made this utterance without thinking, and he said it in a particular meter. And this meter is the meter that he used to compose the Ramayana of 24,000 couplets, rhyming couplets. Hanuman, he is a famous character in the epic of the Maharana, Ramayana, and he is the most famous bhakta in the whole of India. All over India, people worship Hanuman. The Kumbh Mela in Allahabad this year was simply full of hundreds of thousands of Ram bhaktas. 44 years ago, this was the occasion that Srila Prabhupada, he opened the Krishna Balaram temple after many trials and tribulations, which are all recorded in these books that I have mentioned, and you can read and get a first-hand account of how it all developed. Deva Shakti gave a very small condensed form in a few minutes. But it's a 200-page book, you can read this. Srila Prabhupada, we can compare him to Valmiki. He has given very poetic renditions of the Shastras in his commentary that have now been printed in so many different languages, 65 languages. Prabhupada was a great sage and a great poet, just like Valmiki. We can compare Srila Prabhupada to Hanuman, because Hanuman was a very famous bhakta, the most famous bhakta in India. And Srila Prabhupada is the most renowned sadhu for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. No one had done this previously. It was thought to be impossible. And no one has matched Srila Prabhupada's accomplishment since. ISKCON is simply growing from strength to strength. I mentioned Burma, Indonesia, Cambodia, Laos, Philippines, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Thailand, Malaysia, Japan, Mongolia, Vietnam, and China, where today there are versions of the Ramayana in those languages. There's the text. Also, it's been adopted into dance, theater, and more nowadays film of the Ramayana. But Srila Prabhupada, he has spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. I mentioned 13 countries that we find Ramayana in today. Srila Prabhupada has spread Krishna consciousness to 120 countries all over the world. We are printing Srila Prabhupada's books in 65, I think now it's 85 different languages. So just as the Ramayana has spread, Srila Prabhupada has spread the glories of Krishna, Krishna and Balaram, all over the world. The occupation of Valmiki, of Indra Sharma, was that he was a dacoit, he was a robber. So we should be very, very careful in our service to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said he did not want a single farthing wasted. A farthing is a quarter part of a penny in English. It's no longer used. It's a very, very tiny amount of money. It's less than 1 rupee. He did not want one single rupee wasted in Krishna's service. What to speak of people who calculate, who take these rupees for their own use, which are intended to glorify Krishna all over the world. We have to be very, very careful of this. Valmiki's mother, innocently, she ate some fruit which had been stolen. Because of this, her son had the tendency to steal. He became a robber. So we must be very, very careful that what we use in Krishna's service is our quota, Not that we are taking more, not that we are endeavoring to take more, because there will be so much reaction from this, just like there was reaction from an innocent piece of fruit. Valmiki was induced by the Saptarishis to chant Mara, Mara, Mara. And after merging the syllables, Mara, 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 it became Rama. He was chanting Rama. It is said in the Jiva Dharma that one chanting, one utterance of the name of Ram is worth the entire Vishnu Sahasranam, which is 1,000 names of Vishnu. So the name of Ram is considered to be particularly potent. In the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, it is said that one name of Krishna is equivalent to Sri Vishnu Sahasranams, 3,000 names. 1,000 names repeated 3 times. So we can conclude that one name of Krishna is equivalent to 3 names of Ram. The name of Ram was sufficient to purify this robber, this violent robber, so that he became capable of composing Ramayana. So similarly, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is fully capable of transforming and uplifting our lower natures so that we can become the devotees who Srila Prabhupada expected us to be, so that we can contribute to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. These 200 devotees who were mentioned, who compiled their memories in the book which is available in the bookshop, which you should all get today. These 200 devotees had proximity, they had closeness to Srila Prabhupada in measurement, measuring yards and centimeters. They had some closeness. But it's not this closeness which makes them special devotees. Not by coming to a temple, not by going on pilgrimage, not by bathing in the holy rivers, will we become purified so that we can attain love of God. The love of God is available through the sadhana and particularly through the seva to the pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada and to the ISKCON movement. If we are to develop love of God, which must be our goal, not that we simply have a comfortable situation, not that we have an easy life, not that we have some salary, not that we have means to take a little more than we deserve. No, this is not the goal of life. The goal of love is to fully develop love for Sri Krishna. And this can be obtained, this can be developed, our spiritual natures can become manifest through sincerely chanting the holy names of the Lord, and by doing seva within the parampara system set up by Srila Prabhupada. So this program, as Deva Shakti said, it will go on forever. The Krishna Balaram Temple, which is so nicely run, which has been developed in so many ways, is here solely to give facility to people so they can develop their spiritual nature. There is no other reason. There is no other purpose. Srila Prabhupada, he did a wonderful thing in going to the West, coming back, and establishing this wonderful temple. And all of us are so fortunate, not just the people who were here 44 years ago witnessing the opening, but all of us today. There is more opportunity now that we can advance in Krishna consciousness than there ever has been. There are so many senior devotees. There is so much literature. There is such a nice temple program, such nice preaching facilities. So all of us should take a vow today. We should become determined today that we are going to go back to our places of origin and we are going to fully participate in spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement by the Nagar Kirtan of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The books are also available through internet. Memories of Vrindavan and Vrindavan is My Home, both available here at Krishna Balaram Mandir. Hare Krishna.